Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off.
What do you think are the benefits to being in an open relationship? Like, is it the kind of thing where you're like, I could never go back? Like, what don't we know?
Right. So I think it's like the novelty, the passion. Like, that's what you think about when you think about open relationships. For me, one, it made me closer with females, which people think is
Absolutely batshit crazy.
But also, two, it made me a better person. Truly, it made me a better human being. Like, I am a better friend, lover, girlfriend, daughter, human in general, because I feel like I know myself better than I ever have. And for me, it made me practice speaking and living my truth, as opposed to trying to fit in someone else's box.
Right.
And that doesn't work for me.
Right.
And so now, like you said, you feel free, right? Like, that's amazing. That's one of the biggest compliments that you could possibly give me, because that's what I'm all about. I want people to live and do as they completely please, because they enjoy it.
Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm joined by dating coach and co-host of the True Sex and Wild Love podcast, Whitney Miller, to talk about open relationships, and we're also taking your calls. Topics include navigating different types of relationships and how to go about changing your boundaries, what it's like to go to an all-female play party, ways to cope and deal with jealousy in your relationships, and how to bring up the idea of threesomes to your partner without them getting upset. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. You're going to love our site. We got a ton of posts on there, blogs and posts and videos to help you have the sex life that you want. And find us on all social media. It is at Sex with Emily across the board. Okay, intentions with Emily. This year, you guys, I want you all to start the show off, if you'd like, for a second here. Set an intention. I'm going to do one. I encourage you to do the same. So what I mean by this is, like, when you're listening, think of, like, why you're listening. What would you like to get out of the show? And I found that this really helps ground me in experiences. Even if I'm going to dinner with a friend, I'm like, why am I going to dinner with this friend? And I think about, well, I wanted to have a conversation with her about this or that. Or when I'm working out, I want to feel stronger in my body. So for this episode, you could think, I'm new to opening up sexually and I want some ideas. Or, you know, monogamy never really seemed right for me. I'm curious what else is out there. My intention was to get you guys to understand that you get to decide what kind of commitment you want to be in. That there, you know, monogamy really isn't the only choice for everybody, but also maybe there's, you know, this will inspire you all to kind of think differently so you can make sure that your needs are getting met and not what you think society wants for your relationship. All right, guys, enjoy the show.
I'm so excited to welcome my guest. Whitney Miller is here. She's from the True Sex and Wild Love podcast that I did with her with Wednesday Martin in New York. You guys can check that out. We'll put it in the show notes, which is at sexwithemily.com. And Whitney, you were Miss United States. That's amazing. Yeah. And now she got into the podcast, which I had so much fun meeting you guys. And that you essentially have been, what I would love to talk to you about is how you got into your podcast. And then you got into this whole space is I know you were in a open relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you still are. I need to hear about your journey because I feel like this is the time. People always ask me in the 15 years I've been doing this, like, what's changed? And I'm like, people still have the same questions. Like, women aren't having orgasms and men are confused about their penises. But the good news is people are realizing that monogamy isn't the only choice. And people, you know, so I love that you're here, Whitney Miller.
Thanks. I'm so excited to be here. Thank and how you. Much fun did we have on the show when you came?
I loved it. We had a blast. And I really enjoy your podcast. And you and Wednesday are like, so great together.
Thank you.
Thank you. Like, and I was listening to your one. Okay, so we're going to get into our relationship thing, but I listened to your thing about the Skirt Club.
Oh, yes.
Which is the club for women.
Like an all-female play party, sex party, which I'd never been to before, ever.
Yeah, I haven't been to an all-female play party.
No.
What's that? Like, no. I want to go. I want to hang out.
You know, everyone there was very cool, very welcoming, very sweet, but they just get after it. Like, we got there a little bit late, and we were going to do our live podcast from there, which has never been done, understandably so.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, before the podcast starts, I have to just take a loop. You know, I gotta figure out something to talk about here, know what's going on. So I ended up playing Spin the Bottle with a few people. And then you go into the back rooms and people are just going for it.
I know you said that in the podcast, but what do you mean going for it?
So
give me a scene.
So they have like a VIP room and they have all these other rooms and we're in a penthouse in New York City. So amazing already.
Yeah.
And they have the VIP room. I'm not sure how you get into the VIP room other than maybe you just walk in. I don't know. I just walked in. And there's four women on the bed, probably like two couples that are just one's going down on the other one. One's definitely squirting everywhere and just like they're just enjoying it to the max. And you look over on the, you know, chair next to me and there's another one, another female going down, another female. And then it's just me and Wednesday chatting in the middle of it, you know, and there's people in the shower.
Wow. That is so fun. Cause in that, like, I feel we're most women there because there's no men.
No.
It's all women. So it's women who are bi-curious, they say, or who are curious about exploring their sexuality. So is that something that you have always been interested in? Because I totally related to you because you're like, no, I've been with women, but like, I like a man.
Yes.
You're like, I like his hairy chest. I want the muscles. I want him to pick me up. I'm like, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been with women. I like being with women, but I like men.
It's just not the same for me. And I wish, like, I really do think it would be amazing to be as attracted to a female as it is
It'd be a lot easier
man.
In some ways.
Yeah, but like you get to go on multiple dates and like, God, I don't know. I would love that. But it's just neat. Yeah, I've been with multiple women and I enjoy it. I love like the sensuality of it. I love the way the skin feels. It's a completely different experience than being with a man, as you know.
Right.
But yeah, it's just, I just love a good hairy chest
good
and like a deep
chest.
Voice. And
I get it. So
give it to me.
So what, I want to hear a little bit about your journey because you've had a pretty badass life already. And you're young.
Thank you.
But like you've done a lot of different things. You're in your late 20s. Can we talk about age with women that are young? I feel like you can.
Oh, totally.
20s.
I'm 30.
You said it, 30.
Yep.
Okay. And so like you were sports anchor, which is awesome. Wake surfer. You did jujitsu. You had a YouTube show about it. And then Miss Texas, Miss United States.
Yeah. All over the place. Right?
All over. But then the thing is you got into an open relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just love to hear about your journey because I know you're also a dating coach, relationship coach.
Right.
So like, just tell me, how does it go from monogamous to open?
Oh man. I mean, for me, it was like a very challenging road.
I'm sure.
And I feel like you can hear the full spectrum. You hear, oh, I had no jealousy and I grew up and it was totally normal for me. That was not the case.
Yeah.
I grew up in South Texas with a conservative Texas banker father that was like, you get married and then you have babies and you have your career and that's how it works.
Right,
clearly. But that didn't quite work for me. I was always cheating on my boyfriends. I'd wake up like a year and a half in and be like, ugh, you know, there's really nothing wrong with you at all. But I was just bored. And then I didn't know what else to do other than go cheat because I didn't really want to leave them. I still liked them.
It's exactly my experience in my 20s and 30s pretty much. I was like, it's great, but I'm not looking for marriage right now. We're not looking, I don't know what to do.
Exactly.
So you cheat. And then you're like, that doesn't feel good.
No, that doesn't feel good.
Right. Mm-mm. So then what happened?
So then I met my partner at the time, Aubrey Marcus, and we started reading books. We were monogamous for 2 years, and we started reading Sex at Dawn and talking to some friends of ours about just kind of unconventional relationships that I never knew existed. I really thought the only way that you get through a relationship is you cheat.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And then it ends. And then you do it again.
Exactly. And so we kind of talked about it on an intellectual level, and that's it. And then he was like, you know what? I think I want to open the relationship up and try that. And I said, hell no. That is not going to fly. I can't do it. I was always extremely jealous growing up.
Okay.
In all of my other relationships, very, very jealous, very alpha. Like, you cannot look at somebody else. Impossible.
Right.
So he brought that up to me and I just couldn't handle it and I wasn't ready for it. And so I said, no, I can't do it. And I went on, it was supposed to be a 1 month backpacking trip. And I went to Peru and did some plant medicine for the first time and then was like, where is the furthest direct flight that I can take out of Peru? And it landed in Madrid and went through there. And during that time, it was just like the first time I'd been out of the country by myself. I was very young. I had just gotten out of a relationship. I thought we were going to get married and we were living together the whole thing. But I met somebody on that trip and was like, oh my God. You're extremely attractive. And so we had some fun, but all the while I was still very much so in love with Aubrey. And that was the first kind of light bulb for me saying, wait, you can explore and have fun with other people and even have sex with them or have these, you know, intimate dates with them, but still very much so be in love with someone else.
Right. Because in your brain, you're like, no, if you are in love, you can't love someone else.
Right.
You can't have attraction. Right. That mm-hmm. makes sense.
Yep.
Okay. So you felt that.
I felt that. And that was the first kind of like light bulb, like I said. And so I came back and we both still wanted to be with each other, but we got together under the open relationship container. And we had no clue what we were doing.
Right. So tell me what happened. So how did it, because I think that many people still believe that it's just for people who love sex. It's just an excuse to just sleep with a bunch of people.
Right.
And then most of them have your first reaction is hell no.
Right.
But you went from hell no to like, yeah, I can do it. So how does that look? Because I understand what I hear from a lot of people who are successfully open is it's painful in the beginning. There are some slip ups. You don't know how you're going to feel until it happens.
Right.
So what was the first year like?
Terrible. I mean, let's be real.
Right.
It was so challenging for me because it was so much programming and so much jealousy. And really what I tell people is, first and foremost, if you try to get into this type of relationship, the commitment is number one to yourself, to really want to look at all of your traumas, all of your fears, all of your insecurities, because it puts a damn microscope on it.
Yeah.
And that's hard. It's hard to look at all of that. And that's kind of the first, not even year, it was probably two and a half years that it was just like, what am I doing?
What would happen? Like, because I've seen it in so many different ways. Like, was it that you were having threesomes or you had boyfriends on the side and then he was out with other women?
Right. So there's so many ways that you can do it.
Right.
Everyone does it differently. For us, it was, we had threesomes. I hadn't had threesomes before in my life, but we had threesomes. And that was the first time that I figured out, oh, wait, I really do enjoy women, but I don't want to be in like a relationship with a woman.
Right.
And so we'd had threesomes, but most of it was separate. I would have, you know, guys that I would go out with. He would have girls that he would go out with. But everything was really close knit. So he was already seeing somebody when I came back from my trip and we decided to be in this open relationship.
Okay.
This is 6 years later and she's my best friend. But at that time, you know, it's us trying to figure out how do we sit down across the table from each other and not want to rip each other's throat out.
Right.
At least that's what I was thinking.
Can you maybe give me a... Like, how did you deal with jealousy? Like, did you find that after the years you were together, did you get less jealous?
Oh, yeah.
So you can diffuse the jealousy.
Yeah. I mean, and this is what people ask me all the time. How did you transcend jealousy?
Yeah.
And I'm like, girl, I did not transcend jealousy. Like, I still get jealous, but I deal with it in a completely different way. And so for me, I feel like a lot of my jealousy was stemming from like fear of abandonment and always having competition among other women. And that was really interesting. That point is, I never had a whole lot of girlfriends growing up. I had, you know, I grew up with my father. I had two older brothers. And so I was just like a guy's girl. I had all of these guy friends. And then you would think getting into an open relationship would kind of heighten the fact that you want to be competitive with other women.
Yeah.
But it switched the flip. Like, it switched everything for me.
I love that.
And so now going through it, on the other side of it, I have a group of girlfriends that I cherish dearly. And some of them, yes, have been in a relationship with my partner and some of them haven't. But it's just allowed me to really support other women instead of look for ways to tear them down.
Yeah. Well, that is such an interesting point, because I believe that a lot of women who are threatened by other women and don't have a lot of girlfriends, they never grow out of that. Like, you're going to see them. They're the ones on like the Real Housewives or whatever. I don't know. Like, I don't watch the show, but like, there's women who go through their life, 40s, 50s, 60s, and they still hate women. But the fact that, and honestly, it's because of their conditioning, how they were raised. But I love that you were able to see that, like, no, our female friendships really are the most beautiful thing. And that you could really connect with them. And we don't have to tear each other down and be competitive. And I mean, it sounds like you've done such good work. And I always say some of the best work that we do are in relationships, but it sounds like in your open relationship experience, it was like therapy and learning and growing. And so, and I think that people are assumed that if you're in an open relationship that you're like having orgies every Tuesday.
It's a orgy free for all. Yeah.
Thursday's threesome Thursday.
Right.
But what can you give me, like, walk me through a week with you guys? What
it's
it was like
so unexciting as to like what people think it really is, because they do think it's a free-for-all, and every time you hang out, people are on top of the dinner table, like, just going to town and having sex, and there's dildos everywhere. And it
sounds like my house. No, I'm just kidding. Just dildos everywhere. Yeah. Okay.
But it's very simple. Like, it's, you know, for us, if we were to see somebody else, we would talk prior to that. Hey, what's going on Wednesday night? You know, do we have plans? Do you have an event? Do you have anything that we need to do? No. Okay, great. Would it be okay with you, or you think it works with our schedule if I see so-and-so? And then you go out with so-and-so. And then we would stay the night. I would honestly prefer to stay the night out or have him stay the night out. So I just had my own time, my own space. I wasn't wondering what time he was going to come home or anything like that. It was just like everything was easy that way.
So you would sleep over. So what were the rules that you had, though? So because every couple who's in a successful open relationship, they set the boundaries.
Right.
So what were some of your boundaries or some of your rules?
So that's what is interesting, is that they've changed, and I think they always change. But for us, we always, at first, we put on a lot of these rules and ideas and boundaries and agreements, and saying, like, you can't talk to them on this day, or you can only see someone after this time at night, or whatever. And so you put on all of these different rules. And then we realized that was just kind of like setting us up for disappointment. And it was, we were trying to control something that really we didn't want to control, and trying to create this comfort, and it just wasn't really working. So for us, we started off with all these rules and then decided to relax the rules. And now we're at a place to where it's like, we just want to show up for each other and love each other and be as honest, as open as we possibly can.
Okay. So you guys are together now. You're back together.
So here's the story. So we were together for 7 years. Living together, we split up in May, and I think reason why was because we were showing up to each other with just so much kind of like our pain and a lot of trauma that wasn't resolved from the open relationship, but prior to the open relationship and any of the things that I haven't resolved even prior to that relationship. And so we were just not being able to communicate. We didn't trust each other's love. And there was one point, we just did a podcast yesterday about this. There was one point to where he said, I love you. And I said, that's debatable. And that to him was like, ugh, what do you mean that's debatable? And for me, it was just like, I didn't trust his love, nor did he trust my love. And so we loved each other, but we had so much like of our boundaries up that we couldn't fully release that.
Wow.
So what we had to do was like, we had to release everything. We had to release the relationship. And it wasn't easy. Like, it sounds like I'm saying that it was easy. I'm like, oh yes, we understand that we have to do this now. Right. No.
Looking back, you had to release it to come back and realize that you really were, there's always just more layers to peel back of right. the love.
Yeah, there's always more layers, and we just had to take the time to heal ourselves a little bit. And now we have full choice, right? So we had choice when we were together, but we were living together. We're 7.5 years together. And so it's a lot. Yeah. And now I got my own place and I'm like cultivating that. And I love that, yeah, by right. the way.
Yeah. Mm. Same.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah. Living with someone is, especially with that. I mean, like living with someone, keeping the sex hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hard. Mm-hmm. So hard. Now you got your own space, but you guys are still figuring out. So do you have primary partners? You have other partners. I mean, he's your primary still and you have others, or you're still.
We don't have any labels. No, I didn't labels. Want any sort of labels. We're calling it like it's love without labels. And it's like the no, we don't have a relationship, no relationship, relationship. And so it's just total pure choice. And yeah, there's still these, you know, little speed bumps that will creep up on you, little fear monsters that are like, he's not going to love you tomorrow, you know, or little things like that. But we work through them so much faster now. And honestly, it feels so easy than we're in the best place that we've ever been. And looking back, because you go through a breakup thinking like, oh my God, I might lose this person forever. Right. And that was so terrifying for me. But now looking back after a few 6 months or whatever it was, I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah. I love the work that you guys are doing now. I'm curious about your sex life. Do you feel like being in that relationship with him, that it was open? Like, did you feel like you kept learning, peeling back the layers of your sex life as well?
Mm-hmm.
So you've learned a lot more about who you are. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who I am, what I like, what I don't like, how to orgasm better. Like, and also having a partner who's really into that and enjoys that.
Yes.
Plus, you get to have sex with other people, and that's always fun.
Well, that is fun. So you learned how to have better orgasms, and he loves going down on you. You mm-hmm. like pleasing him.
Right.
And then are you with other women, too, with him?
We were, and we are a little bit now, but not so much, like I said. Like, I enjoy it because it's, like, something hot and sexy for him, and I'm down if it's one of my, like, close friends, or it's, like, I'm kind of, like, bi-situational. Like, if there's a really great situation and a really awesome chick, I'm like, cool, I'm down with this.
Right.
But that's kind of at the extent
right.
of
okay.
it for me.
I got it. Seems like you guys have been a whole journey. That is really interesting. I love this. So do you want kids?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
And does he want kids?
Uh-huh.
Are you? He does. Okay.
Yeah. And I don't even know. I mean, we're in this place to where we're not primaries. So if we get to a point where we want to have children together, that'll be a discussion that we'll have. Great. Awesome. I think he would be an incredible father. But also there's the other side of the coin that I could have kids with somebody else True. If I have that deep of a connection with them.
God, you're so free right now. Don't you feel her freedom? I want to be Whitney. Now, Whitney, I have a question
Thanks,
for you.
Guys.
So this is my question. So what do you think are the benefits to being in an open relationship? Like, is it the kind of thing where you're like, I could never go back? Like, what don't we know?
Right. So I think it's like the novelty, the passion. Like, that's what you think about when you think about open relationships. For me, one, it made me closer with females, which people think is absolutely batshit crazy. But also, two, it made me a better person. Truly, it made me a better human being. Like, I am a better friend, lover, girlfriend, daughter, human in general, because I feel like I know myself better than I ever have. And for me, it made me practice speaking and living my truth as opposed to trying to fit in someone else's box.
Right.
And that doesn't work for me.
Right.
And so now, like you said, you feel free, right? Like, that's amazing. That's one of the biggest compliments that you could possibly give me, because that's what I'm all about. I want people to live and do as they completely please, because they enjoy it.
Do you think that most people could, or many people could be monogamous if they were non-monogamous, if they were willing to do the work, but we're just all in this monogamous jail?
Yes. If they were willing to do the work, you know, like I said, it's first and foremost, you have to do the work, and it's going to hurt. And it's probably going to hurt way worse than you ever thought possible. And I think, you know, I think monogamy is great, too. I think it's sacred right. in its own perfect way. And a lot of people say, oh, you are, you know, you don't believe in monogamy. And that's not true. I believe in monogamy.
Right.
I think at some point I may be monogamous, you know, depending on what phase of life I am in. I'll do it. I'll give it a go. But with the agreement and the understanding that we can still have a conversation, that those agreements about monogamy may change in the future.
Right. So if you're with someone, you would say like it could change.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying, yeah, that makes sense. I feel like people are just so, It's funny because you said it was the hardest thing you ever did, but I feel like a lot of people in monogamous relationships are suffering so much. They get jealous and they've got problems and they have cravings, but they don't want to do the work. Mm-hmm. And all relationships are work, whether it's monogamous or whether it's polyamorous or you're swinging or there's all these things, you know?
We're going to take a quick break and we come back more Whitney and we are answering your calls.
There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low-net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Okay, let's take some calls.
Let's do it.
All right, we have Rick. He's 33 in California. Hey, Rick, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Of course. What's up? We're here to help.
Question.
Okay.
How would I approach my significant other about a possible threesome?
Okay. Well, Rick, have you guys ever talked about your sex life or what you're into before?
Yeah, we try to spice it up, doing things, and I think it just plateaued at this point. So
it's plateaued.
Trying to find ways.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm going to tell you, and I'm so glad we have an expert in this here. Oh, I don't know if you're an expert at threesomes, but this is what I love having help here. Because this is what I want to say. It's not, so Rick, a lot of people think like, well, we'll just have a threesome and that's going to spice up our relationship. That's going to make our sex life even better. And I got to tell you that for many couples, if you're not already on super, super solid ground, having a threesome could be a disaster. So I suggest you work on what's really happening with your sex life. But Wendy, what would you say about this?
No, I completely agree. Because once you open that door and you're in the threesome, shit can go sour really fast. And so I think like talking about what you guys are interested in doing, you said it plateaued. So maybe ask some more questions. What are some things that she wants to try? What are some things that you want to try? And then ask like, where are you comfortable? Where are you not comfortable? And then I always like to have kind of like an intentional reconnection after a threesome, instead of like you just have the threesome and then it's like, okay, let's go back to normal life. Like, no, like we need to have this reconnective time together to show each other appreciation for that experience.
So, Rick, what do you think about that? Where are you guys? Have you, talked about the threesome, or have you just talked about spicing it up?
Yeah, we talked about the threesome. In her, her response was like, whatever makes me happy, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's when you don't want to have a threesome because she's not into what just makes you happy. That's going to be a disaster. We got to make sure that she's into it. Does she want to be with a woman?
Has she been with women before?
Has she?
Yes.
She's messed around with the female before. I don't think she went the whole way, but she said she was interested in trying it with the female.
Okay. Well, if she's interested, what I recommend is I love the idea of you guys like doing some like role play around it when you guys are like fooling around, and you could be like, right now I'm picturing there's another woman here and she's going down on you, or she's sucking my cock, or like playing with it, watch some threesome porn together, and then figure out, like, she's got to see that how would that actually feel, have boundaries and rules, especially, you know, around a threesome, who's the person. But before you even get there, I think you have a little bit more work to do with her and make sure that she's truly on board with it. But what I don't love, Rick, is that her answer was whatever you want to please you. Because I want to know, right. And what's going to serve you best, Rick, to get your needs met, is if you find out what she wants, what turns her on. You say back to her, I just want to do what pleases you. Let's figure out what pleases you, too. And then you go on this journey together. And then you might be amazed at what you find out. And she might not even know. And that's also a fun journey to go on if you're willing to take it. You guys can figure out what turns her on. You know?
Right.
There's a lot of different ways to do that. Yeah.
Let's say if I get her to, you know, like, open up and say, hey, you know, this is what I want. What would be the best route after that? Would it be somebody that we know, somebody that you can go outside or?
Okay, there's a lot of different schools of thought about this. I typically think it's not best to be with someone that you're already good friends with or that you already know. I think that there's a lot of different sites to find people. What do you think, Whitney? What's your take on it?
Yeah, there are a lot of different sites to find people. I've always done it with friends that I know. And it's, for me, it lays the ground for, you know, we know who the primary partnership is. We can lay the groundwork with each other. We can talk about the boundaries. But it can get a little kind of, you know, hairy.
But are they like your best friend? Like, are you, because they're your girlfriends, but are they people that you want to hook up with as well in that way? Are they people that you've met in this? I guess I have these old, but people I've been with have been like people I met. They weren't like my girls, you know, they weren't my friends.
No, these are like
besties,
my friends.
Your besties.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you knew them for a long time before.
A little bit. Yeah. The first threesome I had, we were friends, but I didn't know them for that long. But we hung out and worked out together and
right.
We were constantly around each other for sure.
Okay.
So for me, I actually feel more comfortable if I'm hooking up with friends or someone that I know fairly well as opposed to a stranger.
All right. See, there you go, Rick. You can find it all different ways. I think it can be tricky with friendships sometimes, but Whitney, let's also say that you live in a world where I feel like maybe the culture, the community around are all sort of more like-minded.
A bit.
Yeah.
A bit. Yeah. So it can get tricky with friends though. I agree with that.
Yeah. You just got to, you know, tread lightly, have a lot of, you know, conversations, and I wouldn't rush into it.
Yeah, and see what she kind of feels. Like, if you do get to that point, would you want to hook up with a friend of yours? Would you want to hook up with a stranger? Do you want to go on a dating site?
Okay, thanks, Rick. Let's talk to Leo. He's 41 in Washington. Hey, Leo, what's going on?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Dr. Emily, thank you so much for your show. Really appreciate your openness towards human sexuality. And Whitney, thank you for broaching this topic. It's certainly very interesting, and it brought forth this thing that has been bothering my partner and I for quite a while.
Okay. What happened?
We opened our relationship. We'd been married for, 8 years, and we had a great sex life, and we still do have a great sex life. But one of the things that happened was that our open relationship was very, very good and then went very, very south because of one of our partners created an issue. And then we decided to close it. But going into the open relationship, we often revolved around our dirty talk that was like, hey, you know, it would be super hot if you were with another girl or if we had two guys and you. And so all of our dirty talk was, you know, revolving around, you know, multiple partners and the exposure that kind of comes with that. And it was really, really hot. Well, when the openness kind of faded and we decided to put a cap on that, we kind of lost how to dirty talk.
Huh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you guys are still together?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I think maybe you just need some more material or find other things that could turn you on. Like, if you guys were just dirty talking about the open relationship, how long have you guys been together, first of all?
13 years.
Okay. Have you guys explored other things besides dirty talk? Because I would first say that maybe there's other things you could go on a deep dive and figure out other things to talk about. But I feel like maybe you just need a little break from the dirty talk and try some other things. Have you tried You know, role playing. Have you tried any power play? Like, there's a lot of, I feel like people who are into like dirty talk or there's, I think it's a way of, it's actually can be really, it's a way of being really intimate with your partner, and it's a connection, especially if our minds are wandering during sex. So maybe bringing in some other activities mm-hmm. during sex that are like new and exciting to you guys, if that is role playing or bondage or something.
Yeah. And maybe because it sounds like mm-hmm. the dirty talk was focused on the open relationship and that went sour. So now you don't want to talk about it. Is that right?
Absolutely. That's exactly what's going on. Yeah. So we get to that point where, you know, it'd be a nice moment for like, oh, it would be so hot to see this, and both of us kind of clam up, and then, you know, that moment is gone. That moment is fleeting.
Have you guys talked about that?
We don't know.
Like, yeah, hey, when we get into that moment, you know, when we want to say these things, it would be so hot if there was somebody else, but we both clam up, and then maybe get kind of curious as to why and talk about that and start healing what's there. How does that sound or feel?
Absolutely. We've kind of gone down that path here and there, and both of us have gone into therapy for it and, you know, really pushed our own, you know, to find out why things had gone south. We took a deep dive and did a lot of introspection.
Okay.
And it was great, but there's still that, you know, what used to be, which was, you know, not just dirty talk, of our variety of games that we've always played, there's always that lingering sense of, yeah, but this is when it went south.
But did you say why did it go south? How did it go south?
It was a really difficult situation. Our threesomes involved a close friend of mine. And then he stepped outside of what we had established as boundaries and then lied. And, you know, it made things really difficult when then he went behind my back with my partner. And, you know, they started a more intimate relationship than I was aware of. And it really, really sat wrong with me.
Yeah,
so I lost my friend. I lost trust with my partner.
Okay.
And we had to really struggle to gain things back.
Yeah. Have you guys, have you been in therapy together to rebuild the trust? Because whenever it's broken, you have.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And we've been doing that for about a year, and it's helpful, but it's, you know, it was something that was really fun before we were hurt by that incident.
Yeah, no, if you guys have been doing some work, though, I think, like, I feel like there might be other things to put the dirty talk on hold for a little bit and maybe explore, see if there's other ways to connect intimately. Like, I feel like maybe some more connected sex or some tantric sex, some, like, breath work. You don't have to go all tantra and go all crazy, but you could, like, I just think trying new things and thinking, well, where could we go next? If you guys have been together 13 years, you know, the great thing about sex, it's like like therapy, peeling back the layers of the onion. So maybe there's places in your sex life that you could go now, and it's going to be like a new shared experience that doesn't have to do with an open relationship, but places that you've never gone. And that could be fun too. Like, where do we go next?
Yeah, I so agree with that. I think that could be huge.
Yeah, that's what's so fun about sex.
And healing too, especially if you're doing like tantra and figuring that out and some breath work. And that can be really healing for both of you guys within that intimate setting.
Yeah. We like that, Leo. Okay.
Yeah, I haven't thought of that yet.
Yeah, try Thanks something so much. New. So we're here for you. Thanks, Leo. Thanks for calling Sex with Emily. We're going to talk to Michelle, 48, in Washington. Hey, Michelle. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
So
I have been in a relationship for the last 3 years with an amazing guy. We have crazy great sex, super passionate. I, you know how to orgasm, do everything I need for my body. He knows what to do. It's just a really great relationship. The one thing is we do a lot of dirty talk and fantasy and role playing. We both have this fantasy of each other being with somebody else, whether we're at a club, a swingers club or whatever. But for me, it's just fantasy. And for him, it's become where he wants it to be reality.
Okay.
Like, he wants to put me on dating sites and have me, you know, go out, make out, have sex, but the one stipulation is it has to be in our room, in my bed.
Okay.
And I just am not comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And I can't toy with emotions of other people like that because I say, you know, that kind of concerns me because it makes me think, do you really love me? But I wholeheartedly know he's insanely in love with me. And right. the way he says it is that I love you so much. It turns me on and gets me so hot thinking that I can share you with somebody knowing that you'll never leave me and always be with me.
Okay.
So
the part of you, so you're thinking like the part of you that you actually are not interested in being, is the part of it that's upsetting is that you don't actually want to be with another man, you just want to talk about it, or is it the part that it has to be in your bedroom?
I think I just feel like it would have to be done totally where both parties know what I'm doing. Not going online dating and meeting someone, but not being truthful.
Oh, you have to be truthful. I missed that. Skip that part. Of course.
Right?
Yes, Wendy. Okay.
You have to be.
You got to be truthful. That's actually not moral, ethical. That's not how you want to operate in the world. I think that's not fair to the other person.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because when you said toy with another one's emotions, I couldn't quite understand what you were saying. But yeah, there's no toying if you guys are in truth and understand what's going on. And when you're in that truth with each other, it's still fun for them too. And it can be fun for you as well. And everybody. So, but I think you do have to be open and honest about what's going on.
Yeah. You really do. So that's something you...
So then would we still be... I mean, like, so we're each other's, you know, primary or I don't know how to use the term, but, you know, these other people, like, I'm not comfortable yet with him being with another woman. He totally is for me, and he's just like... You have to swear you would never leave. I know you're in love with me. It would never happen, but I just need to hear it. It just seems so wrong. But I hear what you're saying.
I feel like you guys have some more talking to do around this, and some more like figuring out what exactly it looks like and what are the intentions. Like if you're not really ready yet, or he's not really ready. It sounds like there's just maybe you guys are close, but I would not let him pressure you into doing something you don't want to do. And it sounds like he needs to do a little bit more listening and you guys have to do a little bit more figuring out because there's so many different combinations of ways you could make it work yet. But I feel like if he's being really dogmatic about it, he won't budge. And like I say, no way, you guys, there's still more work to do here.
Okay. Yeah. And I think the one thing that sparks my interest too is when he was saying obviously he wants affirmations, and I totally understand that. We all want affirmations in our relationship, but for me the point of you have to swear to me that you're not going to leave sounds a little like he's worried at the same time, even though he's turned on. I'm not really sure. So I think there might need to be a little bit more conversation there until it's like, look, I totally get that you want the affirmations there. That's hot and that's sexy and we all want that.
And the guarantee. And there is no guarantees either. But I'm sure, you know, I can't, like, is there some like kind of wordplay or like even like cuckolding thing? I can't say like, you'll never leave me. I'm just...
Play this out. See what it really looks like. Yeah. See what you would really be turned on by. See what he would really be turned on by. And then see if there's like some overlap there.
Okay. Thank you for calling, Michelle. Okay. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk to Dominic. He's 43 in Pennsylvania. Hey, Dominic, what's going on? How can we help?
Hello, Emily. Hey, how you doing? First time caller.
Thanks for calling. Welcome.
I drive a truck for a living across the United States, all 48 states, including Alaska. And I'm out for like 3 weeks, and then I come home for like 3 or 4 days. And the sex is great with my wife. We've been married for 25 years. And the thing is that when I'm out on the road, I like to talk dirty to her when I'm on the phone, make like nice compliments and, you know, like sexual compliments to her. And she doesn't have like any comeback. Where can she go to like get material to learn about more of a, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Does she want phone? But Dominic, my first question, does she want to learn how to talk dirty?
Yes, she's asked me all the time, like, what do I need to say?
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, no, this is great. So I feel like it is like a skill like anything else. I was like born with like how to talk anything, really. So talking dirty is really something where, you know, you guys can kind of, she can practice or you can practice. It's just kind of talking about things that you want to happen. Something that you want to happen. Something that's happened in the past. Something that you want to have. Something that's happened in the past. Describing something that she wants to happen in the future. But really, I'm trying to think of where to go to practice. this. I always say, like, once you get your voice down, practice in the shower so she doesn't feel so awkward. But you guys have been together for 25 years, so I feel like you'll be cool with it. There's this app that we got, this Slutbot app. That's like, yes, do you know about the Slutbot?
That's what I was about to say. The Slutbot.
Were you going to say it too?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, fine. This is approved by everybody. Dominic, this is what she's got to do. Sign up for, what is it again? It's Slutbot. Literally Google Slutbot, and it's free. And it's an app on your phone, and she puts her number in, and they don't spam you. They just like sext me all the time, and it's really hot. It'll be like, and it teaches you how to have the language. Mm-hmm. It's like she'll say that she could even say that she's looking for, I don't think it matters. I guess she could say that she's looking for a woman, because then the woman is talking dirty to a man. Do you know what I'm saying? So she could learn that language for a man. Right. But tell her just to play with it, because it's an app where, I found this last time, I'll read it for you. It's like you put in things that you want to try, and then the app like texts you back. Let me just find it.
Like generates sentences for you.
It generates sentences for you, so she can.
I'm a pleasure guy. I like to make sure the woman's happy. I mean, the best thing that God put on earth is women.
Yeah,
get it, Dominique.
I agree. So
I like to please her first, and then. But when I'm texting her or if I'm talking to her on the phone, she's like, well, what do you want me to say back to you? And I'm like, well, tell me what you're feeling. What do you think you should say? You know, and she's just kind of like, I don't know.
Well, what would you, well, I mean, here's the thing, like.
Maybe ask her what would feel good.
Yeah.
Or what feels good when you guys are having sex.
Yeah, ask her what she likes.
Oh, it all feels good.
No, but what is she like? Like what? Like she's probably worrying about what you want to say, but like what feels good to her? Like that you've done to her. Right. Like what it feels like, what she likes doing to you. Like I think the thing about it is like being really descriptive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things is I always tell like to start a great place is like she could describe like one of the her most favorite times you guys had sex. Like does she have a top three moment, and then she could describe it back to you. Like I'm remembering the time that the kids almost walked in, but they didn't, and we were taking a shower, and I was dripping wet, and you came up behind me. You know, like something that's actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be one of them. And this friggin' app, man, Dominic, it's so fun. It's like, I love trying new things with you. This is what it said to me. I was thinking I'd like to try using a bullet vibrator on your clit when I fuck you from behind. Do you like the idea? Like it gives you, but this is more for a woman. So she could put in a man, like, you know, that she's looking for a man. And then it would be like with the man. She could say she's a man and then there's a woman. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm so exhausted. Now listen, I was thinking about, OMG, I was thinking about the time we had sex in the shower. I remember the feeling of your skin getting all slippery beneath my hands. How did it feel when I pressed against the tiles? Like it's awesome. So that's what I would suggest.
Well, these are the things that I tell her about, you know, how wonderful she, you know, she's sucked my cock when I last time I was home and how I enjoyed, you know, going down on her. And, you know, and she just goes, yeah, uh-huh. Like, I'm like, well, what do you mean, Tell me what you enjoy. Tell me what you like.
She probably liked that, too. But what you want to hear her say is, I love sucking your cock, and it's so big, and when you came in my mouth. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you got to tell her.
Is there, like, movies out there like that you could watch? Because we can watch, you know, movies together.
I think this is where porn might be a good one.
I was going to say, probably just go watch some porn.
This is where I like porn. Have her watch some porn together.
Right.
Yeah, honestly, like I finally got her
to use a dildo after 25
nice,
years.
Dominic.
Hey, that's
winning,
good.
winning. Yeah, read some erotica. Listen, she could read some erotica. What I love is what's her name? The Rachel Kramer Bussel does like an anthology every year of like, or a few years of the best erotica. Go to Amazon, order some books about erotica. She could read that. That would really help her as well. Have her find something that interests her.
Right.
She could even read it to you over the phone and kind of incorporate you into it. Get creative with it. You know, she tried a vibrator. Who knows what's going to happen next? Thank you, Dominic. We got to go. I appreciate your call. Keep me posted. We are changing the world one orgasm at a time, Whitney, and you're helping me. Thank you for being here.
Of course.
I've got quick key questions for you, but they have to be super quick. Ready? Biggest turn on.
I love being kissed on the neck.
Biggest turn off.
Oh gosh, certain smells.
What makes good sex?
Connectivity.
Something you would tell your younger self about sex.
Oh, girl, learn how to please yourself, and pleasure is about you, too.
Number one sex tip.
to know that you can have very explosive orgasms. Like, focus on that. You can learn that.
Please rate us wherever you listen to the show. Just look down right now. How are you listening? Give us 5 stars. Leave a comment on iTunes. It's totally helpful. We appreciate that. I appreciate you. And thanks to my awesome team, Ken, Kristen, Elisa, Brian, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.